Department of Education, Office of Special Education Services, Marty R. McKenzie, Statewide Vision Consultant.
Welcome, thank you. I never know what they're going to do for walk-up music. So you just don't know what might happen. And this didn't work. So, welcome this afternoon. I am the president of the Clarendon County Chapter in my spare time, statewide vision consultant for the South Carolina Department of Education. And if I could spin that wheel like Scott LaBar, I'd quit my day job. Find something more entertaining to do. I'm happy to have five people from the Clarendon County chapter in person. That's a record for us. We're also happy to have Melinda Hamm as my vice president. Her sister drove up from Johnston to bring her, and that's Sherry Williamson. So happy to have her. So we're glad to have those folks here. I want to give you just an update from the Department of Education. I will tell you now that Logan and Swetlanka are hard acts to follow. So this is going to be boring information, but probably very necessary. I know that one of the things that we've cared about deeply in South Carolina for many years is the idea that Braille and large print textbooks, particularly Braille, most difficult, should be on time. And our Instructional Material Resource Center has done a great job with that over the years. The center was founded in 2002. We will celebrate our 20th anniversary in 2022. Jill Ischinger has served as the director of the Instructional Material Center since it was founded. She came out of Greenville County as a TVI that is very passionate about Braille. One of the national speakers on the national agenda, Amir Armley, was a student of hers at one point. So she has certainly done a good job providing those skills. All Braille and large print books are processed through the Instructional Materials Center. For many years, I've told you that we did a great job with that we would have something like a 98% success rate of having those textbooks in the hands of students when they needed them. Well, guess what? COVID hit. And in the year of COVID, our percentages are much lower. I won't announce them, but they are lower. Our Braille Production Center in Greenwood, South Carolina closed for like 8 months due to COVID. And that really, really caused us some headaches. However, Jill Ischinger and Glenda Kulik, who was in the back of the room, we share her with Raquel, were doing reprints on small embossers in their home locations for some books. Through the Instructional Materials Center, all APH orders are processed, and we are very good at recycling materials so that we make our APH dollars go farther. We're extremely blessed that we don't have to spend our quota funds on large print and Braille textbooks. The South Carolina Department of Education gives us a line item in the budget for that purpose. And that makes more, go ahead, clap. That's a big deal. There are a lot of states that don't have that luxury. That provides more funding for other products that students might need during that time. As the ex officio trustee, I am responsible for overseeing the census each year. And it's done through the Instructional Materials Center under my direction. The numbers are back up. Finally, we're crawling back to where we were pre-2017 when we had to start getting those signatures for permission to share with APH. So right now, the account you care the most about is the public school account. and there are 647 students there. So overall, we have a little over 800 students. And then we have a few more that are not legally blind, but are eligible for services under the South Carolina criteria. The special events, and I know some of you really enjoy this and participate. We appreciate your help so much with these. Technology Olympics is one of them. And our partner at the South Carolina Commission for the Blind, they are so gracious to host these events, provide volunteers. They really go out of their way to accommodate us, and they shut their centers down. Well, they don't shut it down. They just rearrange everything for a couple of days out of the year for us to do this. Technology Olympics, a shout out to the commission. That's a great thing. It's a wonderful partnership for us. The Technology Olympics in 2021 was canceled due to the pandemic. We were not able to figure out a way to do that virtually. We are looking at that for this fall, but I am just not sure where we are with that. I think right now it's potentially unlikely, but we will see. In 2021, Braille Challenge as a regional opportunity was canceled. However, we did have two students that participated by having their local TVI administer those tests, and the Braille Challenge, the Braille Institute graded those tests for us. So that was an opportunity that at least a couple of people took part in. Braille Challenge is about 13 years old in South Carolina, and basically every child, almost every child that is able to read any Braille at all participates in our Braille Challenge. So we have a very high success rate with that. As the vision consultant, I am responsible for providing the professional development opportunities, or many of those opportunities, for our teachers and our O&M instructors in South Carolina. And one of the things I do in conjunction with Dr. Herzberg at USC Upstate is I monitor how many teachers we have, how many O&M instructors do we have, how many dual certified people do we have, and how many of them are going to retire in the next 3 to 5 years. Because where are we going to get people to fill those roles? Fortunately, because of that partnership with USC Upstate and Dr. Herzberg's program, our teachers of the visually impaired, we're pretty well set. We have a couple of districts this year that's contracting outside of the state, but there's about 92 of them in South Carolina right now. That number was a little higher at one point. We've had some people kind of leave the field. They've wanted to retire. O&M instructors, we're at about 26 that actually work with students, and a large part of that population, probably close to half, are dual certified. So that's not 26 people working full time. And in fact, one of them is a contractor working part time. Due to the OSEP memo released in 2017, we had to revisit our eligibility criteria. We got that completed, submitted it to the State Department. And believe it or not, we're still waiting on them to approve it at the board level. So we're still operating under an older criteria, but that's working for us at this point. And then the professional development that I mentioned. I usually do 2 days of PD a year, one in conjunction with the SCAER annual conference, and then one in the spring, close to Vision Summit. However, this year, because of the pandemic, we had to move remote. And that meant that what we did was like 4 sessions in the fall that supported items or issues that were of great concern to TVIs. One of them was how to do those functional vision learning media assessments in the virtual environment. And we did figure out how to do that, but we never did one without qualifying that we did it that way. And it probably needed to be looked at again when face-to-face was an option. In the spring, we focused on your favorite thing, tactile graphics production, using our tactile graphics embossers. What we learned from that session is what we don't know. We learned what we don't know. So we have some work to do there. So currently we're reviewing plans for the next grant cycle and looking at what we might do. We know now that cortical visual impairment is considered or known to be the leading cause of blindness, and we certainly have to address that in the next grant cycle. With that, that concludes what I have to share with you this afternoon, unless anyone has a question. Hearing no questions, thank you, President Baser.
Thank you. So, thank you, Marty.